If someone insults a person, they're giving him a dry cleaning. They're washing away all his averos. So that's the best doctor. The best doctor is the one who embarrasses you. He cures you from, you know, hundreds of averos. But what does he get for it? So you would say, oh, I have to give him a big yashikoyach. I have to give him a big... So Hashem must give him big reward for doing that. You know what his reward is? Gehenna. Because the fact that you were chosen for this job shows that there's something wrong with you. If somebody is chosen to be the one to embarrass somebody publicly, he's not so lucky, despite the fact that the one being embarrassed is receiving a wonderful gift in the process. Mamish, a gift, the other guy is in hot water, the one who did it. Clear? Now Rav Nosson Zal says, V'zeh b'chinas sholosh mitzvois shel Purim. These three nekudos that we spoke about, the top part of the Aleph, the middle part of the Aleph, and the lower part of the Aleph, which correspond to building the Beis HaMikdash, appointing a king, and wiping out Amalek, that's the... We're going to show the keshna between that and the three major mitzvahs of Purim, which are Simcho Mishta, the Sudas Purim, Mishloach Monos Ish L'Reyehu, the Shalach Monos, Umatonis L'Avyonim, and the giving charity to the poor. Rav Nosson Zal explains now. Simcha u'mishte zebechinas nekuda yoina. The Sudas Purim, the Simcha and Mishta Purim corresponds to the upper part of the Aleph. Sheshom mekoyer ha-simcha v'chedva. That's the center of Simcha and Chedva. Bechinas bote gavoi, that refers to the inner chamber of Hashem. But it means the inside room. She'en shom atzvus. Where there's no such thing as depression. Rak oiz v'chedva v'simcha. We say in the morning, choyd v'hodo lefonov, oiz v'chedva b'mkoymoy. That when you become inside the place of Hashem, b'mkoymoy, the place of Hashem is only simcha. So the simchas purim, the suda purim, corresponds to the Beis HaMikdash. If you look in our Shmon Esrei, whenever we talk about going to the Beis HaMikdash, it says, Usmachtem b'choil mishlach yedchem. All the mitzvahs, many times in the Chumash, where it talks about bringing karbonos to the Beis HaMikdash, it says, and you'll have simcha, simcha, simcha. So the simchas purim, the suda purim, corresponds to the upper part of the Aleph, the building of the Beis HaMikdash. V'zeh b'chinas mishteh, b'chinas shichrus shel purim, shetzorech lehishtaker ad delo yoda. This is the concept of the drinking on Purim, where the Shulchan Aruch says that a person should drink until he doesn't know, until he loses his das, in a sense. He can't figure out between Or Haman and Baruch Mordechai. Kitzorech lesmoyach ulehishtaker b'purim, ad sheyalo lebechinas nekuda elyoina. The person has to get so drunk on Purim and so happy till he rises up to the level of Nekud El Yoyna, Sheshom Hu Bechinas Delo Yoda. That's the level that's above Yediya. Bechinas B'mufla Mimcho Al Tidrosh, B'mechusa Mimcho Al Tachur. We spoke earlier about the Keser, which you're not allowed to talk about because we know nothing about it. It's above Das. You have Chochma Bina and Das, which is knowledge. The Keser is above that, where there it's Lo Yoda. It's mechusim imcho, it's covered from you, it's hidden from you, it's that which we don't know. And that's the main part of the upper part of the, that's the crown of the top part of the Aleph. So that's number one. Mishloach monos ish l'reyehu, the act of Jews exchanging shalach monos, ze bechinas vov, kloli es hagavnin. That corresponds to the vov of the Aleph, which we said earlier was related to the sky. Remember we spoke about Moshe being the top part of the Aleph, Yehoshua, the lower part of the Aleph, and the sky, Moshe Rabbeinu represents the sun, Yehoshua is the moon, and the thing that connects them is the Rokia, the sky in between. We had it 2 shiurim ago when we spoke about this. So the sky is multicolored, Klolius Hagavnen, it's where all the different colors come together. That's the mitzvah of Shalach Monos. We're exchanging. All the Yidden are mixing together. You give me, I give you. It's this combination of colors. Bechinas Yisroel asher becho espoyer. There's a pasuk where Hashem says, the Jewish people in which I see beauty, multicolored, multifaceted. Shehem klulim migavnen sagiyin. The Jews are made up of many different colors. Each one is a different type. Each one is stronger in this and weaker in that. You know, all different types. utzrichim b'purim lichloil ze bozeh. And on Purim, all the different yidden have to mix and match. They have to merge together. That's this middle part of the aleph, which represents the rokia, where all the different colors are mixed together. And this is why we send gifts from one to the other, in order to become united one with the other. Then my color becomes part of you. My food goes into your house. Your food goes into my house. I become you. You become me. And we all become merged together, mixed together, like this vav and the aleph, which represented this klolius hagavnin. We said before it represented the ashirus, which is money, which is multicolor, the klolius hagavnin. That's number two. And the third mitzvah, umatonis levyoinim, giving gifts to the poor people, ze bechinas nekuda tachtoino. That corresponds to the lower part of the aleph, shehu bechinas oni vevyoin. A poor guy is a guy who's down. That represents the lower part of the aleph, the yerida, the state of yerida. V'tzorich lehoyer bo, alidei matonis levyoinim, tztoka kiyadua. We have to shine light into the lower part of the aleph, into the yerida, through tzedaka. Tzedaka is the tikkun for the malchus, for the shechina, for that lower, that nekuda tachtoina. That's the matonis levyoinim, the giving gifts to the poor people. That's making a tikkun for the lower section, the lower group. Ukriyas hamegillah, and the act of reading the megillah, shehu bechinas amso shel Torah, which is the concept of the truth of the Torah, kama yishadosh vazal, as the Gemara says, ze klal kol hagimel bechinas kanal. That's the combination of all three nekudos. The Megillah includes all three of these in itself. Ki ha-Torah klula mikulam. Because the Torah contains in it all three of these items. The Aliyah, the Yerida, and the combination. I once heard from my Rebbe Zichron Brachot on that Torah Nekudimah, Torah Vov, where it says that you have to be boki b'rotzui, boki b'shoiv, that the words rotzui, v'shoiv, are begimatria Torah. Exactly. That in the Torah, you have the Aliyah and the Arida. The Torah is that, it has mitzvahs aseh and lois aseh, do and don't. The concept of up and down, both concepts. Vayidei hadibur, shenesaprim hanes bekriyas Megillah, by telling over the miracle of Purim, by reading the Megillah, aydezeh niskashren venichlolen kol abachino sanal. That's how we combine and attach everything together here. Because dibur is the item that brings together nekuda elyona, nekuda tachtoina, kanal, as we said earlier. Baruch Hashem li'olam, amen v'amen. With this, Rav Nosson Zal concludes this halacha, and then he's going to have an appendix. He's going to have a little piece attached. This is an item that Rav Nosson Zal brings in a few places in the Kutaman, that dibur is the kesher between top and bottom. Why? The peh is Hilchas Aveda Metzia, Halacha Beis, towards the end of paragraph Dalid, page Nun Beis, the left-hand column, towards the bottom of the column. We were talking about the three parts of the Aleph, the upper part of the Aleph, the lower part of the Aleph, the middle, how it related to Mordechai and Esther, how it related to the miracle of Purim, how it related to the topic of Tshuva. And now that Moshe Zal is going to connect it to the Torah, to show how the Torah also contains in it these three aspects. Ki ha-Torah klula mikol ha-gimel ha-nekuda yisanal. Because the Torah is a combination of all these three nekudos that we spoke about earlier. Ki ha-Torah klula mibechinas Moshe v'Yehoshua. The Torah is a combination of Moshe and Yehoshua. Shehem bechinas Torah shebichsa v'Torah shebalpeh. They represent the written Torah and the oral Torah. Kiyodua, as is known in Sifrei Kabbalah. That Yehoshua represents Mishnah. This is based on something that the Arizal, the Zohar Kodesh say, that it says in the Chumash about Yehoshua, that Yehoshua is Na'ar. That he was Na'ar lo yomish mitoy choyel. Na'ar is one of the nicknames given to the Malach Memtes, who comes from Chanoich originally. Chanoich is the one who Hashem took him from the world before his time, in a sense, and he went up to heaven and he became an angel, the Malach Memtes. That angel is called the head of the Mesifta Derikia, the head of a certain major yeshiva in heaven, where there is controversy, where there is machloikis, kosher posel, tomei tohar, osur mutar, the six basic versions of machloikis, which are presented in the six sections of Mishnah, Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. That's one of the ramozim that the Sifrei Kabbalah bring to show how Yehoshua represents Torah Shebal Peh. Yehoshua is called Nar. Nar is also Chanoich. Chanoich is the Malach Memtes, who is this concept of Kosher Posel Tamei Tohar Sumuter, which is the whole concept of Mishnah, which is the foundation of Torah Shebal Peh. Chanoich was one of the people that lived after Noach, in the beginning of the Chumash, where it says he lived, and then Hashem took him. It says in the Chumash, Hashem took him, and it says he took him before his right time, because Hashem knew that if he would stay in the world any longer, he might become messed up.
Was he descended from Shem?
I think so.
No, he was before Noach.
Chanoich was before Noach? I'm sorry. Sorry. Of Odom Arishin. Sorry. I'm sorry? Na'ar, because the word Na'ar is Yu'ah. There's a pasuk Chanoich Lanar al pi darkoi. Teach a youth based on his level. And the Sifrei Kabbalah say that Chanoich, this angel, is also called Nar. Kaviochel, he's the messenger, what do they call that? The gopher for Hashem, Kaviochel. Man Friday. Kaviochel, he's Hashem's Man Friday. He's the closest angel to Hashem in terms of Shlichus, this Malach Memtes. Back to earth. I'm sorry. Bechinas nekuda elyoino, nekuda tachtoino. Torah shebichsav and Torah shebalpeh also represent this upper nekuda and lower nekuda. V'zeh bechinas, this is why it says in Perkei Avos, Moshe kibel Torah mi-Sinai u'mesora li-Yehoshua. That Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah from Sinai and gave it over to Yehoshua. Moshe Rabbeinu is symbolic of the Nekuda Elyona, Yehoshua is the Nekuda Tachtoina. Moshe is the Torah Shebichsav, Yehoshua is the beginning of the Kabbalah, Kabbalah meaning giving over, which is the Torah Shebal Peh, which was given over from mouth to mouth. Ki Nekuda Elyona Meira B'Nekuda Tachtoina. V'hatoira B'Yatzmo Hi B'chinas Vov Kemuva B'Mokom Acher. And we know that the Torah is also referred to by the concept of the Vov. Ki haluchos orkon vov verochpon vov, because the Gemara says that the luchos which Moshe Rabbeinu received on Har Sinai were 6 by 6 in height. They were 6 tfochim by 6 tfochim. So the letter vov represents the Torah, and the Torah also contains in it a concept of nekuda elyona and nekuda tachtoina, Torah shebichsav, Torah shebal peh, Moshe and Yehoshua. So the Torah is made up of all three parts of the Aleph, the upper Yud, the lower Yud, and that Vav in the middle. V'zeh b'chinas zois ha-Torah Odom. This is why it says in the Chumash, this is the Torah, Odom ki yomos bohel. It says zois ha-Torah Odom. This is the Torah, Odom. And Rabbeinu Zal said in this chapter in Likut Imran that the word Odom is the Aleph plus the Doim Lashem, being silent for Hashem. Ki les Odom b'loy Aleph. Because you can't have the word Odom without the letter Aleph. The Aleph is the first letter of the word, which is the most important one. Hainu gimel nekudo isanal. So we see that the Torah contains in it these three aspects that we spoke about earlier from that chapter in Likut Imran. The Elyoina, the Tachtoina, and the middle one. V'zeh b'chinas, this is why it says in a pasuk, Hachresh, be silent, va'a'alefcha chachma, and I will teach you wisdom. The Hebrew word for teach is aleph, a'alefcha, the aleph there. Kialidei hadmima vashsika, because by a person following the advice we spoke about earlier, of knowing when to be silent, b'chinas doim l'Hashem, to be silent for Hashem, b'chinas ein Esther magedes, where Esther knew when not to talk, because she represented that nekuda tachtoina, as we learned yesterday. That's the main aspect of tshuva. Umeir nekudo hel yoina, b'chinas chochma v'das. Once you fix up the nekuda tachtoina, which is the being quiet, that allows the nekuda el yoina, which represents the chochma and the das, to shine properly. V'nishlam b'chinas aleph kanal. And the aleph, the tikkun of the aleph, is completed. V'zehu hachresh v'alef chochma. This is why the pasuk says, be silent, and I will teach you chachma. Because step one in building up this aleph is the being silent, that doim lashem, which we said represented the lower part of the aleph, as we learned previously. That's why the pasuk first says, silent, and aleph. V'ha megillah, hi b'chinas Torah. And the megillah, which we read on Purim, is also an aspect of Torah. As the Gemara darshins on the pasuk that Mordechai and Esther sent out these megillas to all the people in the kingdom, divrei shalom ve'emes. Emes is one of the nicknames of the Torah, that the megillah was actually incorporated as part of the Torah.
Proof of that would be that you take Masechta's megillah, all the laws regarding to a sefer Torah are involved, isn't it?
Correct. V'zeh b'chinas gimel brachos shemavorchen al ha-megillah. Rav Nosson Zal says, this is also the reason why we make three brachos when we read the Megillah. These three brachos correspond to the three parts of the Aleph that we spoke about. Watch how Rav Nosson Zal is going to do this. Asher kiddushonu b'mitzvoysov. The first bracha is, Asher kiddushonu b'mitzvoysov etzivonu al mikra Megillah. Rav Nosson Zal says that bracha corresponds to the upper part of the Aleph. Ze b'chinas chachma, that corresponds to the sphere of chachma, shenikra koidesh, kiyodua, which is called koidesh. One of the proofs that's given for that is, there's a pasuk, koidesh Yisroel Hashem, reishis tivuasoi. The Jews are holy to Hashem, they are the first of his crops. Reishis is chachma. There's a pasuk, reishis chachma yiras Hashem. So the word kodesh is associated with chachma. There's another pasuk, kadesh li kol b'chor. Hashem says, reserve for me your firstborn. Kadesh, miloshen kodesh. B'chor, the firstborn, is an inyan of chachma. Reishis chachma, the first is chachma. So we see the first blessing, which is asher kiddushonu, corresponds to chachma, the upper part of the aleph. Zebchinas nekudu el yoina. She'oson nisim, the second bracha which we make on the Megillah, which is she'oson nisim, zebchinas vov. That corresponds to the vov, the middle part of the aleph. Ki nisim heim bechinas vov. Miracles are symbolized by the vov. Veze loshin nes, kleines, b'chinas vov. The word neis in Hebrew means a pole. Sometimes, klunsaot. Klunsaot are like those metal things when they build houses in Eretz Yisrael, those metal, large poles of metal that they stick in, and they pour the concrete around it are called klunsois. And it's brought that the word klunsois, the root of that is the word neis. So neis means a pole, like the letter Vav. The letter Vav is shaped like a pole. So the bracha she'osa nisim corresponds to the Vav. Shechyonu, and the third bracha, shechyonu v'kimonu v'gyonu lazman hazeh, ze b'chinas nekuda tachtoina. That corresponds to the lower part of the aleph, sheshom seder hazmanim. It's in the nekuda tachtoina that you find the whole concept of time. Ki hu klula michkol hachofches itim kiyodua. Because it's brought that the nekuda tachtoina, which corresponds to malchus, is the combination of the 28 possible types of time. In Koheles, it says, Eis livkois ve'eis lischoik. There's a time to laugh, time to cry, time to build, time to destroy. Those 28 aces that are written over there are all part of the Malchus. The Malchus, the sphere of Malchus, which is the lowest one, corresponding to the lower part of the Aleph, is represented by time. One of the proofs to this that I once heard is, and this will answer an interesting question, We know that the acceptable, the unit of time is measured by 60. 60 minutes in an hour, 60 seconds in a minute, and so on and so on. So that there's 3,600 seconds in an hour. Whereas by Jews, we know that every Rosh Chodesh, we have Shabbos Mevorchim in Shul, and they announce that the new moon is born on this and this hour, this and this day, this and this hour, and so many chalakim, so many parts of an hour. How many parts are there to the hour in Jewish time? 1,080. It's called Tatraf Chalokim. Tuf Tuf Resh Pei. Tuf is 400. Tuf Tuf is 800. Resh is 200. Pei is 80. According to the Torah, the hour is divided into 1,080 parts, which means each one of those parts is 3 1/3 seconds. Because if you divide 3,600 into 1,080, it gives you exactly 3 1/3. So that when they announce on Shabbos, the Moilad is going to be Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, 22 minutes, and 6 Chalokim. After 9, it means 22 minutes, and 6 times 3 1/3 seconds. You know, 20 seconds after, 20 minutes after 9. You understand? That's how you calculate it. Excuse me? So now the question is, why did they pick that? Why didn't they pick 422? We know that in Yiddishkeit, everything has a reason. The Tikkunei Zohar says that when we talk about the Yichud of Kodesh Baruch Hu and the Shechina, it's called the Yichud of Tiferes and Malchus. Tiferes is the sphera that's used to serve as the koilel, the combination of all the ones of its family. Chesed, Gevura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, those six, when we want to summarize them, very often they're all included in the word Tiferes. Just like Yaakov Avinu is Tiferes. Avram is Chesed, Yitzchak is Gevura, Yaakov is Tiferes, and he's called Bechir Shebavois. Tiferes is Koilel Chesed and Gevura. It contains in it Chesed and Gevura, and it also contains in it Netzach HaYisoy. So that very often in the Zohar HaKadosh, when they talk about the Yichud of Kodesh Baruch Hu and the Shechina, it's called the Yichud of Tiferes and Malchus. That's the terminology that's used. So the Tikkunei Zohar says, the man is in that relationship. The Zohar Kaviyochel is called Tiferes. What is the Nekeva? The Nekeva is always one step below the Zohar. In other words, the Vuhu Yimshel Boch. It's assumed that the Zohar is above and the woman is below. She's right below him. The male is Tiferes and the female is Tatraf. Tof Tof Resh Pei. That's how we get this number 1,080. It's Tiferes without the Aleph. In other words, one less than Tiferes is Tof Tof Resh Pei. And that's symbolic of the Malchus, the Shechina. That number, 1,080, represents the Shechina because it's one below Tiferes. For those that understood it, it's a piece of information that's of value. So that's why it's brought that the Malchus is the place where the time definition is done. Just like we have 24 hours in a day, corresponding to the 24 combinations of Hashem's name Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. It's called Chof Dalet Tzirufei Adni. Hashem's name Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, which is the name for Malchus, Odoin in Hebrew means a ruler, has 24 different, you can write it 24 different ways, corresponding to the 24 hours in a day, corresponding to the 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva that passed away in a plague, Midas Hadin. You find many, these numbers are used very often, to signify different things. Baruch Hashem li'olam, amen v'amen. With this, Rav Nosson Zal concludes this halacha likutei halachos. Remember, we were discussing Hashava Saveda, and Rav Nosson Zal showed how the concept of Hashava Saveda and the three pieces in that, the Aveda itself, the one who lost it and the one who found it, corresponded to those three Nekudos that were mentioned in that chapter on Likutei Moran. Seeing something lying on the ground and being forced to make a decision, I choose to see it and pick, see that it's an item of value and see that it probably belongs to someone, and because it's an item that it's not just a dollar, a shekel, which has no sinan, it's something that is identifiable, I choose to bend down, pick it up, take it home, put up signs, find out who lost it and return it to him, to follow through on that mitzvah as presented in the Chumash of Hashavah Saveda. When I do that, I fulfill all the tikkunim that Rabbeinu Zal discussed in that chapter in Likut Imran that are accomplished when Moshe and Yehoshua got together in the tent. That same flow that happens between Nekuda Elyona, Nekuda Tachtoina, and the tent in the middle. The same tikkun that was accomplished when the Jews entered into Eretz Yisrael and they were given the three mitzvahs, wipe out Amalek, establish a king, build a Beis HaMikdash, on a certain level, by my being Mekayim Mitzvah Hashavah Saveda, I'm turning on those same lights. It's a corresponding effect to those things that were established there.
About how the tzaddikim now are picking up and finding all of
Avedos
and this piece of Torah here,
they're doing the Hashavah Saveda. Exactly, we spoke about the concept that when a Jew comes to this world, when a Malach strikes him and he loses all of his knowledge and everything, and then most people start living in the world and they don't go bother looking for their lost article, except that tzaddikim who do go looking and find. And they're the ones who are oisek in this mitzvah of Hashavah Saveda. In other words, a tzaddik, big tzaddikim, who bring people close to Yiddishkeit and who teach them Torah and everything, by them, their act of giving the person Torah is a form of Hashavah Saveda. And all the tikkunim that we discussed here happen when the mitzvah of Hashavah Saveda is performed. They're performing all of those tikkunim when they are makari the person.
Like this forum, that's like the that they're putting up, you know, hey, come on and get your stuff.
The different ways that they call out to a person and choose their clientele is this concept of Hashavah Saveda.
Is there an idea that the Shadchan, the setting of Shaduchim, is like being...
That's another form of Hashavah Saveda. This concept of a neshama that comes down to the world and breaks apart into two pieces, the husband and the wife. And the Gemara says, Darkoi Shelish Lachzor Acharisha, that it's the man's responsibility to seek out the wife because she is a lost, that's his Aveda. That's his lost, the lost other half. And the Shadchan sometimes is the one who sees the two and sees a connection and is able to be to assist in this Hashavah Saveda, in bringing her to him, that kind of thing.
So that's why a stapler is called a Shadchan. Huh?
So that's why?
A stapler is called a Shadchan.
A stapler is called a Shadchan? Yeah, because it puts together two things, exactly.
Stapler.
Exactly. Now we enter into a new world. Now we're starting another Halacha and Likutei Halachos, which is based on a different chapter in Likut Imran, and you have to close the door temporarily on what we learned before, and you have to vacate your brain, make room now for a whole load of new concepts and new ideas. First, Rav Nosson Zal is going to present Rabbeinu Zal's words in the Likut Imran on a certain topic, and he's going to use that as a foundation to build on to explain this mitzvah of Hashavah Saveda. So try to erase and be ready for new information and new concepts. Rav Nosson Zal says, Halacha Gimel, Al Pi HaTorah Ashrei Ha'om. This is based on a chapter in Likutei Moharan that's called Ashrei Ha'om, which is based on the topic of Hashgocha Shleima, the Hashgocha Proti, the full measure of Hashgocha Proti of Hashem. That's what Rabbeinu Zal discusses over there. And this is chapter 13 in Likutei Moharan, Chelek Aleph. Rav Nosson Zal says, Ayin Shom Kol HaTorah. Check out that chapter in Likutei Moharan, study it well, so that you'll have a good introduction for this Halacha Likutei Halachos. And he says, V'natik Ktsas HaMuchrach L'nyanenu. I'm going to copy over here a little bit of what he says there, which is necessary for what we're going to be discussing here. The topic we're going to discuss, you need to have this introduction. V'zeh L'shoinoi. These are Rabbeinu Zal's words over there. Lahamshich hashgocha shleima. If a Jew wants to be able to draw Hashem's supervision on himself in a full sense, meaning Hashem is everywhere and Hashem is watching over everything, but it's not the same. The precision with which Hashem supervises over Eretz Yisrael is much different than what he does chutz l'aretz. Proof is, the pasuk says about Eretz Yisrael, Tomid Einei Hashem Alekecha Bo, that the eyes of Hashem are always upon it. What do you mean? He doesn't see what's going on in Chutz Laretz? They're getting away with it? The answer is, it doesn't mean he doesn't see, but he doesn't see it as clear. He isn't staring at it, and he isn't supervising as closely in Chutz Laretz as he is in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara and the Zohar Kodesh say that each nation has a different angel who's appointed over that nation in heaven. Just like when Mitzrayim went down the tubes, when the Jews came out of Egypt, and Mitzrayim fell into the Red Sea, the Gemara says that the Sar Shel Mitzrayim, who was an angel by the name of Raha, Resh He Bez is his name, that was the angel, the word Resh He Bez means great and powerful, that was the angel who was appointed over Mitzrayim, that was their ambassador to the heavenly United Nations. Over there also, the Zohar Kodesh says, there is an in Shemayim, where all of these angels get together and battle it out. And any time two nations on earth decide to go head-to-head with each other, the implication is that in heaven the same thing's going on. The two angels are battling it out over there. So when Mitzrayim fell, their Sar fell also. This is why the Shavar Kodesh says, we say in Oz Yosher, Ve'es roidfehem hishlachto v'mtzoylois. Those that were chasing the Jews, Hashem threw them into the depths of the sea. The first letters of roidfehem hishlachto v'mtzoylois spell the name of that angel that got dumped. When Egypt got dumped from being the rulers of the world at that time, their angel in heaven got dumped also, and the Gemara says he became the Sar Shel Gehenim. He got thrown out of the United Nations, his respectable position up there as ambassador, and he became the Sar Shel Gehenim, which the Gemara says which was a much lower level appointeeship in heaven. So we see this concept. So the Gemara, so the Sforim say that in Chutz Loretz, because each nation has its own angel, Kaviyochol, Hashem gives over the supervision of those countries to a degree, into the angel. And Hashem doesn't watch so closely. Whereas when it comes to Eretz Yisrael, Hashem says, that's my baby. They don't have any, there's no angels representing them. I'm their angel. I'm the one representing them in the heavenly United Nations. And there's this extra hashgocha proti in Eretz Yisrael. So now, Rabbi Elazar says over there in that Torah Likutei Moran, that if a person wants to draw this hashgocha shlema upon himself, yefsher elo ad sheyeshaber taivus mamon. The only way to do it is by the person first breaking the desire for money. Meaning the illegal, the desire for someone else's money, the bad type of desire for money. Because that's called Avodah Zarah. It's called Elilei Kesef Ve'elilei. The Chumash uses the term idols related to money. Elilei Kesef Ve'elilei Zahav. Idols of gold and silver. So we see that money could be an Avodah Zarah. So it's only when a person succeeds in being Machnia, that Avodah Zarah, that the person can draw upon himself the full supervision of Hashem, the full eyes of Hashem. Ushviroso hialidei tzedakah. And Rabbein Ezal says in that chapter in the Likutei Moran that the way that you break taivus mamon is by giving tzedakah. The tzedakah that a person gives shows that his money is kodesh, his money isn't avodah zarah. The amount of tzedakah that he gives and the attitude with which he gives it and everything, that's the tikkun for money. For sure, it's one of the highest forms of tzedakah. Ki isa bezoyar, because it's brought in the Zohar Kodesh, rucha nochis l'shakech chamim odaliba. There is a certain ruach that comes down to l'shakech, to cool off, like to cool off and to calm down the fire of the heart, chamim odaliba. The fire, the heart has a certain fire burning in it, and there's a certain ruach that comes down to subdue that fire. V'kadnochis, and when this ruach comes down, libo v'kadnochis rucha, when this ruach comes down, libo mekabele b'chedva deniguna delivoi, the heart receives it with the joy and song of the Levim. The Levim are the ones that sang, did the shir in the Beis HaMikdash. when this ruach comes down and subdue and puts out the fire in the heart accepts this ruach with a simcha, with a big simcha and with a big song. This is a quote from the Zohar Kodesh. Rabbeinu Zal, in that chapter, Nikudimran, takes this apart, every word, and he shows, Rucha zebechinas tzedakah. The term ruach symbolizes tzedakah. Shehu ruach nediva. When the Torah talks about generosity, it's called ruach nediv, a spirit of giving. That's the term that's used about it. Ruach, a ruach toiv. Generosity, charity, is called ruach many times. Al yodoy mekarin chamimus taivas momoin. What's the fire in the heart? The fire in the heart is taivas momoin, that burning desire for money. And tztoka has the ability to subdue that. Veze bechinas ktoires yisamach leiv. Rabbeinu Zal in that chapter in Kutaman quotes that pasuk, and he says that ktoires means lekasher. Lekasher simcha lahalik ktoires yisamach leiv. That you have to be mekasher the simcha to the heart. He explains that over there. This simcha that tztoka brings. Veze bechinas hisgalus Moshiach. And Rabbeinu Zal says over there that the mitzvah of tzedakah is actually a hisgalus of Moshiach, because Moshiach is also called Ruach. Ruach apenu Moshiach Hashem. And it's a Ruach that subdues fire. Apenu af, it refers to anger, charoin af, which is a form of fire. Moshiach represents the Ruach that subdues the fire. She'oz yizbatel chemda samomayin, because we know that when Mashiach is going to come, then this intense desire for money is going to be subdued and eliminated. It says that then people are going to throw away their idols of gold and silver. That's what it says in the Navi. When Mashiach comes, people are going to, what does it mean? It means they're going to lose that intense desire for money, that negative, wrong kind of desire for money. Ukefi habito shelavoy dezorazoy shel tavis mamoin, to the degree that a Jew is successful in ridding himself of this avoy dezorah called tavis mamoin, kein nizbatel charoinav. To that degree, that person succeeds in eliminating Hashem's anger from the world, because the Gemara says, kolzman sheyesh avoy dezorah boilam charoinav boilam. As long as there's idol worship in the world, Hashem's anger is in the world. So to the extent that we succeed in eliminating idols, we eliminate the anger of Hashem. One form of idols is money. As they write on the American coins, in G-D we trust, right? What's the G-D? The greenbacks, the dollar. That's the Hashem that they trust in, right? That becomes the Hashem. V'nismasheich chesed boilam. When a person gets rid of the charoinaf boilam, when the charoinaf is eliminated, it makes way for chesed to come to the world. Vaydeze yismasheich hadas. Once chesed comes into the world, then das comes into the world. Shehu binyan habeis hamikdash. Das is synonymous with the rebuilding of the beis hamikdash. Why? Because the Gemara says, ki mi sheyesh boi deo, ke'ilu nivne beis hamikdash biyamav. The Gemara says a person who has das, it's as if the beis hamikdash would have been built in his time. The Gemara brings proof, I've mentioned this many times, that the word das is written between two names of Hashem. There's a pasuk ki kel deyos Hashem. The word das is in between two names, and the word mikdash is written between two names of Hashem. We say it in Oz Yoshir. Mochin l'shivtecho po'alto Hashem, mikdash Hashem koinenu yodecho. The word mikdash is written in between two names of Hashem. So the Gemara says we see that mikdash and das go together. If a person is zoche to das, it's as if he has his beis hamikdash. V'ze bechinas hisgalus ha'toyro shel osid lovoy. And Rabbeinu Zal says over there that this is tied into the revelation of Torah that's going to be revealed in the future world. The highest level of Torah he speaks about over there, the Torah of Atikos Timo, the deepest secrets of Torah. Now, in this chapter in Likutei Moran, Rabbeinu Zal brings psukim and gemaras to show the connections between each one of the things we listed here. Tzedakah, Tavis Mamoin, Hisgalus Moshiach, the Ktoiris, Binyan Beis Hamikdash, Chesed, he brings a lot of information. Rav Nosson Zal is just bringing it in summary form to give us the labels which he's going to use in the flow in explaining this halacha. For HaKlal, the general concept that Rabbeinu Zal proves over there is Shal Yidei Shemeshabrim Taivas Momoin Ayidei Tzedakah, that when a Jew is zeichet to succeed in breaking his Taivas Momoin through the mitzvahs of tzedakah, by koshering his money, so that he shows his money is not avodah zarah, his money is kodesh kodshim. Why? Because he's taken, just like when you shecht an animal, in order for meat of an animal to be kosher, you gotta salt it to get rid of the blood, the bad blood. The Gemara says, domim tarte mashmi, there's two kinds of blood. The word domim means blood, and the word domim means money. Money also is bad blood. And you have to salt it to get rid of the bad blood. How do you salt money? The Gemara says, melach momoin choser. You know how you salt money? Take some of it away. Separate some of it to Hashem. By giving some of it away to Hashem, that's how you salt the money, meaning you pickle it, you make it have lasting power. That it shouldn't be that it all gets spent, the person gets his paycheck, and a week later he has no money left, that kind of thing. The way to salt your money, to see to it that it should stay with you, you know, for a long time, is by giving Hashem his peace. So and that koshers the money. That makes it, that takes it out of the category of Avodah Zorah and brings it into a category of Kedusha. So alideze nimshach chesed, vaideze nimshach das vahasechel. That gets rid of the anger of Hashem. When Hashem's anger is gone, chesed takes its place and das takes its place. Vaide asechel hazeh, Rabbeinu Zal explains over there in that turn of the Kutimran that when there's the right kind of seichel in the world, the tzaddikim use that seichel to gather together nefoshos ula ha'aloisam and to lift those nefoshos up to Hashem, bebechinas mayin nukvin, to use them as female waters. Just as when there's a zivug between husband and wife, there has to be mayin nukvin first on the part of the woman in order for there to be the proper yichud, in order for there to be a leda, a birth, there has to come from her first, a hisoirus in a sense. So the tzaddik, step one of the yichud between Hashem and Kaiso, the tzaddik lifts up the nefoshes of the Jews, and that serves as mayin nukvin, an introductory step to zivug. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says, v'loikeach nefoshos chacham, that one of the jobs of the chacham is to gather together nefoshos and take them. Take them where? Take them up. He elevates them up to heaven. Vaideze meyached kutshebrichu shchintei, and then the tzaddik affects. He's the shadchan. He's the one who brings together Bnei Yisrael and Hashem. He elevates the Jews, who represent the female in a sense, he elevates them kavyochel to Hashem, he lifts up their nefoshos and brings it to Hashem. Vayidei hayichud hazeh noilad Torah. And when Hashem and the Jews get it together, just like at Har Sinai, there was a wedding. The Jews went up, right? The Jews climbed 49 levels. Then Hashem came down to them, vayir Hashem al Har Sinai, and there was a yichud. When there's a yichud, there's a birth, there's a leida. When a husband and wife get married, then they can produce. What was produced there? The Torah was produced. Rabbeinu Zal says, through this yichud, when a tzaddik, a chacham, is able to gather together nefoshos, those nefoshos that come to him, he gathers them together and lifts them up and makes a yichud between them and the Shechina, that's where he gets his Torah from. That's how the tzaddik gets the chidushei Torah that he teaches. Ve'yoyred oiz mibotcha, and he brings down Torah from its heavenly place. There's a pasuk that says v'loipeach nefoshos chacham ve'yoyred oiz mibotcha, that a chacham gathers together nefoshos and brings down power from on high. What's the power? Oiz is one of the nicknames of the Torah. We had it earlier. Hashem oiz lamo yitein. That refers to the Torah. Vayidei hamshochas haTorah nimshach hashgocha. And when the tzaddik is able to draw Torah into the world, he's drawing the eyes of Hashem into the world. Because the four aspects of the Torah is made up of four parts. The musical notes, the ta'amim, the nekudos, the vowels, the tagim, the crowns on the letters, and the oisios, the letters themselves. The four parts of the Torah correspond to the four parts of the eye. They're called the tlas gavnin de'ena ubasayin, the three colored rings of the eye, and the pupil of the eye, which are the main vision sections of the eye. So that's why the Torah itself is the eyes of Hashem, kaviyachol. When a tzaddik brings down Torah from on high, he's bringing the hashgoch of Hashem down, literally. The kol echod, kifi kiruvo yel haTorah, each and every Jew, to the degree that a Jew is zocheh to come close to the Torah, kein hashgochas Hashem yizborach olav. To that degree, he draws the hashgoch of Hashem upon himself. Right. Two words are used interchangeably sometimes. Yeah. Yes. You have to know that sometimes when those words are used, even in Sifrei Kabbalah, sometimes they're being used to represent two different items, and sometimes they're used to mean moichin, general term, referring to sechel. Sometimes we use the word chachma, sometimes we use the word das. You're going to see along the way many times that sometimes it's going to be very precise and specific, and sometimes not. Hashkocha shleima, shechoizrim v'nitztayrin be'enov. Hashkocha shleima is when we become configured in the eyes of Hashem. Ayin sham kol zehete. Look in Likutei Moran over there, where Rabbeinu Zal explains this very, very well. One of the things that Rabbeinu Zal says over there, he talks about seeing something, and he explains, how does a Jew, let's say I'm looking at that door across the room. When we say, I see the door, in order for me to see the door, two steps have to take place. A laser beam has to go out from my eye to that door, and then it's got to bounce back into my eye and be configured in my eyes. Lahavdil, you learn about the nervous system, you learn biology about the brain, how things work. A person steps on your toe and you scream, ouch. Why? Is it because the toe felt pain? Baloney. The toe is nothing. The toe is a piece of meat. The toe didn't feel nothing. What happened was that there's nerves in the toe. When you stepped on the toe, the nerve was touched. A message was cabled along that nerve, going up the leg, up the stomach, into the brain, and in the brain, it registered that somebody's stepping, some 300-kilo guy is stepping on me. The brain heard that, realized that, and sent a message back down to the toe to pull itself out of there, to get out. It's a process. The way it's explained in biology, they explain it, this kind of thing. We see it take place in a fraction of a second, but it's not because the toe thinks. The toe doesn't have a brain to be... It's things traveling back and forth. So too, the concept of vision, we know, for example, if something is opposite you and I look into the pupil of your eye, I can see that item in your eye. Because the pupil of the eye is black, it has like the mirror effect, where I can see the thing that's opposite it inside your eye. And Rabbeinu Zal says, al pi Torah, al pi Kabbalah, the concept of vision is a concept where it's a two-way process. It's shooting out a beam of light, and the beam of light has to register back. And Rabbeinu Zal proves it. He says, I'll prove it to you. Let's say a person's standing still, and somebody runs something across their eye real fast. Let's say somebody takes a watch and passes it across your eye in 1 second. Did your eye see it? Did it go past your eyes? Yes. How come you didn't see? I ask you now, did you see what time it is on that watch? You say, no, I didn't. What do you mean you didn't see it? Your eye saw it, 100%. Watch, I'm putting it right past your eye. How come you don't see? The answer is, Rabbeinu Zal says, because there's a certain time factor involved between when your eye shoots the beam into that item and it bounces back to the brain to register what it saw. And if the item is passed by the eye too quickly and there isn't enough time for that light to go out and back in, the thing doesn't register in your brain.
What is this light? If I understand, it's the light that's coming into the eye.
Yes, yes. But it's not just that. The eye has to send something out. It's not a physical item. In order, the way Rabbeinu Zal explains, the way the Sforim explain the concept of vision, it's a concept of the eye making a contact with that item. In order for me to see anything, there has to be a contact
so
between...
focus on that item.
Exactly. Exactly. Like a lens of a camera, that concept.
But you're talking about like this light coming out of...
I'm talking about it in spiritual terms. That's the way it's described. It's as if the eye sends a messenger out to that item, And the messenger's got to come running back and bring that item into the eye. And if it happens too quickly, even though the item was passed before the eye, if there isn't enough time for him to go there and come back, that's why you didn't see the item, really.
Before you see, oh, that's a fan over there, there's a previous point in your brain which is registering attention, saying, ah, it's like your system is being geared towards that so it can pick it up.
Exactly. You're wording it one way, and Rabbeinu Zal worded it, you know, a different way, but it's this, here again, if somebody's not, sometimes a person's staring at, and staring over there, blank stare, and you say, did you see it was in the local? He says, no. What do you mean? You were looking right there. How could it be that you didn't see it? The answer is, I was looking, but I wasn't looking at it to see what it said there. You understand? So there's a concept of the brain being merukas, focusing its attention on something, and sending a messenger out to that item, and the messenger coming back and bringing the item back and returning it and configuring it in the eye or in the brain. These are the concepts that Rabbeinu Zal presents in that Torah in Likutei Moran. He discusses Taivas Momoin, and he discusses it in terms of a fire in the heart, in terms of an Avodah Zarah. The tikkun for it is Tzedakah, which is this Ruach, and this Tzedakah represents a bringing a Simcha into the heart, which cures the heart from that fire, and how that's a concept of Hizgalus Moshiach, because Moshiach is going to be Ruach Apeinu. He's going to be this Ruach that subdues the anger. That's why the Pesukim talk about when Moshiach comes, the Jews are going to get rid of their idols of gold and silver. They're not going to worship money anymore. The world isn't going to worship money the way it does today. And when this item has a tikkun, then there's chesed, then there's das, then there's revelation of Torah. And Rabbeinu Zal says that when tzaddikim reveal Torah, when a tzaddik reveals chidush Torah, it's not just that he sat down and he figured something out. Baloney. Rabbeinu Zal explains that it's a whole operation where first the tzaddik has to be mekasher himself with the nefoshos, those people that are present at the time that he's giving this dvar Torah. He has to attach himself to all the nefoshos and bind all the nefoshos together. And then he rises up to Shemayim together with this package of nefoshos, and that serves as a mayin nukvin, that serves as a preparation for a yichud between Hashem and the Shekhinah. And when there's a yichud, there's a birth, and there's brand new Torah that's born and sent down, and that's the revelations of Torah that the tzaddik reveals, a hisgalus in Torah. And this is why we find in the Zohar HaKadosh, for example, there were certain times when Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal gave some of his deepest shiurim, where he told the Talmidim to sit down, take seats in a certain cave, each Talmud in a particular seat, and then he told them, let's hold hands together, not hocus pocus, but ruchnius. They had to be mekasher, the nefoshes together in a certain way, in order for him to be able to go up and bring down revelations of secrets of Torah, which he presented to the world, knew his galus in Torah. And this topic is discussed in that chapter on Likutei Moran to a degree. Rav Nosson Zal, in a few places in Likutei Halachos, is going to explain this, explain and show exactly what and how and when.